You, we praise you. We acknowledge your peace, your presence, and your lordship. Even now, Lord, as we prepare our hearts and minds for the word, for your word, Lord, convict, convince, and convert. You get glory, praise, and honor to yourself. Even now, Lord, we ask that you would do what only you can do. Somebody needs to be encouraged this morning. Somebody needs to hear Rhema word, specific word this morning. Not only in-house, but those that are viewing, God. Meet us at our point of need, as you always do. And we'll be careful to give you all the praise, honor, and glory. For it's in the name of Jesus that we pray, with thanksgiving always. And all of God's people said amen, amen, and amen. Luke chapter 12, verses 2 and 3. Luke chapter 12, verses 2 and 3, New Living Translation. Luke chapter 12, verses 2 and 3, New Living Translation. When you get there, say amen. You need another moment, say, wait a minute. I heard that. Luke chapter 12, verses 2 and 3. And if you don't think you're going to get there, say, go on without me. Amen. Verse 2 of Luke chapter 12, the New Living Translation says, the time is coming when everything that is covered up will be revealed, and all that is secret will be made known to all. Verse 3, whatever you have said in the dark will be heard in the light, and what you have whispered behind closed doors will be shouted from the housetops for all to hear. I want to talk around the thought, the subject, secrets. This is part 3 of our message on secrets. We've been talking about secrets for the past 2 Sundays, which is no secret. Amen. Y'all get it later on. And we have determined that there are so many people who live their lives hiding secrets. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Now understand, I'm not just talking about you being a private person, because I hear you. I don't tell all my business. I didn't say that. We understand about being a private person who just keeps certain things to yourself, or only share or disclose certain information with close friends or relatives. That's one thing. But the Bible's talking about something else here. Talking about secrets. In other words, we know that there are some things that need to be kept private from other people. We understand that. Everybody can need to know all of your business. But then there are some secrets. Are y'all listening? Some secrets. Some things you may be hiding that are detrimental to you personally because they have not been dealt with properly. Yeah. Are y'all walking with me this morning? Understand, we should also know that there is no secret that you should ever attempt to hold or hide from God. Why? Because God knows everything anyhow. Yeah. Am I right about it? How many of us know that God knows everything anyhow? He can see a black ant on a black rock at midnight. There's no hidden anything that can be hidden from God. I don't know who God is talking to this morning. Maybe he's talking to somebody out there. But we all hide secrets. Yeah. Amen. Pulpit to the door, ceiling to the floor. Some of our secrets are big deals, big and bad. Some are small and trivial. But we all have secrets. Y'all looking at me like I'm lying about something. Anybody in here other than me have a secret? Amen. Some of y'all don't want to. Yeah. Everybody got a secret. I didn't. God says so. Now listen. In fact, if you're like most people, you can probably count about a dozen pieces of personal information that you've never shared with anybody, and you probably never will. I've heard more than one person, I'm going to grave with this. I'm going to my grave with this. Now, there's some secrets. That's where you better go with them. Amen, somebody. Everybody who's done some stuff hasn't got caught. Aren't you glad? Is anybody other than me glad that God decided, y'all acting funny today. You wish you hadn't got caught? No, you like me, aren't you glad God didn't?
Yeah.
With every secret, you know secrets like that one night stand. Wow, y'all just acting, oh, I'm gonna do it. One night stand. I'm going to Jamaica for a weekend. I'm gonna let my hair down. You let more than let more. Secrets. Yeah. You committed a petty crime. You stole something. You couldn't help it. It was right there before you. You got away with it. Maybe a secret desire to be with someone other than the one you're with. Y'all looking at me funny. I wish I had some truthful folk in here. Secrets. Maybe the secret, it's a secret you're still struggling with that has to do with one particular person. I'm all right until she gets around me. I'm all right until he gets around me. Maybe it's a person, maybe it's a place. That's why you avoid certain places, certain things, secrets, issues that you can't seem to shake, can't get around it. Does anybody understand what I'm talking about? See, when y'all quiet, it makes me think it's you. I didn't say it's you. I don't know, only God knows it's you. So the best way to deflect it from you is to give me an amen or a witness. Makes me think God said, I told you to preach this and preach it, put your foot on it.
Yeah.
Amen. And sometimes understanding the reasons for keeping a secret can be very helpful in avoiding thinking all the time about whatever it is you're trying to hide over and over again. See, a secret is intentionally withholding personal information from one or more people. Would y'all agree? And understand, while some secrets are best kept to themselves, some other secrets can often be harmful in the long run. Because it'll eat up you. It'll harm you physically, psychologically, and oftentimes emotionally. Secrets, because it keeps on coming back to haunt you. And understand, a secret doesn't have to be extreme. No, people have secrets and political and religious views. Amen. And you don't have to tell everybody that. Amen. Especially when you know that other folk are not going to agree with you. And you got secrets when you hide your finances. You know, you don't want nobody to know that you got a couple of dollars and, that's your secret. You know, and again, everybody has at least one, but more often than not, you got more than one. Amen, somebody. The question this morning is, what's your secret? I don't need to know, but have you talked to Jesus about it? That's what the thing is. I don't need to know your secret, but have you given your secret over to the Lord? Something about your husband, something about your wife, something about your children, something about the man on the job or the woman on the job. You know who's hitting on you. Secrets. Family members. Y'all looking at me funny. They abuse your child. Uncle so-and-so. Auntie so-and-so. Daddy so-and-so. Secrets really have the power to hurt not only you, but they hurt other people around you. Am I right about it? Secrets can not only hurt you, but they can hurt other people around you, because they can affect your communication or lack of communication. You can't talk with so much because you got secrets. Communication is lacking oftentimes with your children because of your secrets. Your secrets about your spouse. Speak secrets about your parents. Come on, there's some secrets we know about mommy and daddy that you'll never tell nobody. Hello, somebody? When they thought nobody else was listening, you heard it. Secrets can restrict your willingness, listen, to be more open and honest with other people. That's why not in every case, but there's some people that can't wait till service is over because they run out. Because they can't sit by you. They feel that if they stay around you too long, that they'll disclose secrets. So they run in and run out.
Yeah.
I said secrets can restrict your willingness to be more open and honest with other people. In other words, if the Bible says, listen, truth shall set you free. John 8:32. That's what the Bible says. If truth is liberating, then that means that when you suppress the truth with your secrets and lies, then you form a bondage and a way the enemy can keep you from surrendering your life fully to the Lord. Do you not know the devil will try to tell you that even God is fed up with your secret? The devil, you know, how many of us know the devil's a liar? John 8:44 said he's a liar. Don't you know he will try to keep you in bondage because of your secret? And God says, all you got to do is tell me about it. And then the devil said, well, he already know about it. You ain't got to tell. Come clean. Fess up. If you confess your sin, God is faithful and just. To what? Forgive you for your sin. And to what? Cleanse you from all unrighteousness. I ain't talking about nothing but Bible here. Did you know that keeping secrets can hinder your praise and worship?
Yeah.
Do you not know that people can't praise and worship God when they're holding on to secrets?
That's right.
You looking at other people because they're excited about the Lord. Talking about rich man. No. You are in bondage because of your secret. But if I'm free, I can't help but give him praise.
Right.
If I'm free,
right.
I can't help but worship him. Amen, somebody.
Yeah.
When you got praise and worship going on, it ought to be connected all out through the church.
Yeah.
Not just one spot over here and over there. It ought to excite everybody. Don't you know when you start praising God, something happens. When the praises go up, come on, the blessings come down. How many of us know that? You want God to bless you in your situation, you ought to start praising him. You ought to get excited about him. You ought to tell somebody about him. You ought to dance around him. Get all quiet up. Talking about the Lord. Talking about him ought to ignite something. Bible says our secret life is seen by God. Y'all know the familiar passage, Psalm 139, verses 7 to 12. You know God sees everything. Am I right about it? Verse 7 of Psalm 139 says, I can never escape from your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. If I go up to heaven, you are there. If I go down to the grave, you are there. If I ride the wings of the morning, verse 9, if I dwell by the Father's oceans, verse 10, even there your hand will guide me and your strength will support me. Verse 11, I could ask the darkness to hide me and the light around me to become night. But even in darkness, I cannot hide from God. Even when you're hiding in darkness, you can't hide from God. To God, the night shines as bright as day. Darkness and light are the same to you. Let me ask this. Do you really think, y'all walking with me into this, do you think that maybe David, do you really think he wanted to escape from God's presence? He's talking in Psalm 139. No, do you think that's really David's purpose? Or attempt to elude or hide from God? I don't think so. I believe in Psalm 139, David is speaking from a hypothetical perspective. Otherwise,
hypothetical thinking.
Hello, somebody. In other words, hypothetical thinking involves imagining possibilities and mentally exploring their consequences. What if I did this or didn't do that? The other would happen, or maybe not. Hypothetical thinking. And I believe David is imagining possibilities and mentally exploring their consequences. In other words, David says, if it were my intent to flee your presence, would I be successful? Where could I possibly go? Hypothetical thinking. If I even thought about entertaining, let me hide from God. Y'all looking at me funny. I used to think I could hide from God by taking a drink. Y'all looking at me. I thought if I got high, I could hide from God. I thought if I waited till late at night when it's dark outside, I could hide from God. Y'all looking at me funny. I thought I could hide from God because of my mess, but my mess never hidden from God. David says, for you, O God, are everywhere. You know God is everywhere. He sees you coming and going and in between. Somebody said, what took you so long? Oh, well, the traffic. There wasn't no traffic. You stopped somewhere. Y'all looking at me funny. Wasn't no traffic. I ran into Auntie so long. You ain't running into Auntie. You ran into somebody. But it wasn't Auntie. No. David says, if I sin, if I climb high enough, David said it would still be to no avail. Because no matter how high I go, God is there. Well, suppose I dig myself a hole. Suppose I dig myself down deep. Can I hide from God? No, you can't hide. Well, suppose I bust hell wide open. Can I hide from God? God is still king and ruler over hell. You can't hide from God. Everywhere, and any effort to try to escape from God's presence is to no avail. Am I right about it? I already told you, perhaps, and I know some people don't. I know without a shadow of a doubt, I'm not the only one who has tried to hide, because I used to be an alcoholic. Y'all looking at me funny. I used to try to hide around the bottle. Yeah, y'all looking at me funny like you ain't never tried. I would try to self-medicate myself by drinking sometimes into a drunken stupor. Or some of y'all, I never took, but some folk in here understand, you would try to take a drug, heroin, cocaine, crystal meth, crack cocaine. And it would give you a temporary soothing. But you still got to come back to reality. Am I right about it? You can't hide. Darkness can't conceal you. Am I right about it? There's no secluded hideaway from God. Some of y'all looking at me funny. The only people that should be worried about that are unbelievers. That's the only way. Aren't you glad that sometimes you got convicted when you thought about doing something, so you didn't do it because you knew that God knew? Am I the only one? Anybody here? You were thinking. I didn't say you did it. You thought about it because he deserved it, or she deserved it, for the way they treated you. And you know, somebody said, you deserve better than that. You want some coffee on the job? When you going to lunch? I'm treating today. Y'all looking at me funny. Set up. Go out to lunch with anybody and everybody. Especially when your man or woman ain't treating you right. The devil going to put somebody else up there. I'm talking about they going to buy you and treat you to a good lunch. And then say, listen, you tired after lunch? I'm like you. I got time off to take off. Yeah, right. Yeah. Secrets. I said the only one that worries about that or should worry about that is the unbeliever. No matter what the trial, no matter what the test, no matter what the secrets, no matter what takes place, no matter how quick it comes, no matter what the depth of its power, God is always with us. I said, God is always with us. When I mess up, God is with me. When I make a mistake, God is with me.
when I deliberately do something wrong, he's still with me. His goodness and his mercy is always with me. Goodness brought you here this morning. Goodness woke you up this morning. Goodness is going to carry you home this morning. Goodness is going to put food on your table. Am I right about it? Goodness is going to forgive you. Goodness and mercy follow you all the days of your life. I like what the psalmist said. Am I doing all right, y'all? Give me a few more minutes. Psalm 23, verse 4. New King James says, yea, though I walk through. Y'all stop trying to walk over. Stop trying to climb under. Stop trying to go around. Yea, though I walk through. You got to go through some stuff. Am I right about it? Stop trying to get around. Stop trying to get a helicopter to go over. You got to go through some stuff. It's when you go through that you learn how good God is. When you go through, you know that if it had not been for the Lord, you'd never got through. God is always with us. God will change the way you think. He'll change some bad habits into better habits, becoming ultimately good habits. Am I right about it? I know we got troubles. I heard it on the prayer line today. Everybody's got troubles. You ain't the only one. From the pulpit to the door, ceiling to the floor, everybody's got troubles. I've got my troubles, and trouble is just what it is, troubles. Troubles don't make you feel good. Troubles make you draw, if you're doing it right, draw closer to the Lord. Because anybody with troubles, when you draw away from them, you just allow troubles to get to you. But when you draw close to them, God says, I'll take care of you. I'll make a way for you. I'll provide for you. Am I right about it? I heard Job say, Job 14 and 1, man that is born of a woman is of few days and full of trouble. But on the other side of troubles, you got to understand there's something on the other side of troubles. I wouldn't have known God the way I do until I had went through something. I didn't know how much God loved me until I went through it. Amen, somebody. I wouldn't have known how much he loved me. See, we hear about grieving the Holy Spirit, and we don't understand. The only way you grieve somebody is because they love you so much. That's how you grieve the Holy Spirit. I heard a testimony the other day about a man that said he was 6 years old. His mother, he and his mother was the only one living together, and his mother was a sole provider. And she went out to do something, and she said, don't you go nowhere. And he wouldn't divulge and didn't have to what it was, but he said something that hurt his mother deeply. She went out, and when she came back, he said, I was kind of afraid she was going to jump on me and beat the heck out of me. But he said, when she came back later on, she said, we got to have a talk. She said, listen, I only make such and such a money amount or an hour, but I go to work every day. I try to give you clothes. I try to put food on your back. I do the best that I can. And she said, what you said to me today, earlier, it hurt me so bad. And the guy said, he grown now, he said, when I saw my mother and when she talked to me, he said, I felt her pain. I had grieved her. And the only reason she sat me down, like, because she loved me so much. She was trying to tell, don't you know? And then, he said, she told him, I'll die for you. I'll die for my child. Now, you know that's something. So she's trying to tell him, in essence, how you dare to lay me out like you did. And I'm going out, don't feel like going out here, but I'm going out there so you can have a roof over your head, so you can have food on your table. Come on, somebody. So you can go to the doctors because you're covered. He said from that day on, he connected that with grieving the Holy Spirit. That was from a human perspective. He said that's the same way you grieve the Holy Spirit. When God tells you to do something, and you disobey him, and you willingly do that, you grieve the Holy Spirit. You grieve God loves me and you so much. Loves us so much that Jesus died for your sins and mine. Ain't no love like that. Lay down his life for you and me. And you mean to tell me you don't want to obey God? You don't want to come to church? You don't want to give? You don't want to help out? What's wrong with you? You grieve the Holy Spirit. Secrets. God wants to bless you when you do what you ought to do anyhow. Look at God. You should do what he's telling you to do anyhow, but when you do it, God says, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless you for doing what you should have done in the first place. Yeah. When we do things in secret, make sure you don't do them to let other people see that you're doing them. Amen, somebody. No. Don't tell people that, you know what, I'm fasting. No, and make an ugly face. No, do it anyhow. Amen, somebody. In the spring, in the fall coming up, I'm going to ask for, and I want y'all to be prayerful. I'm going to have on a Friday night, if the Lord don't change it, a couple hours for prayer for Abyssinia. On a Friday, and I'm putting it, this is only July, one Friday in the fall. Were y'all listening? I'm going to ask for Abyssinian to come with me and my family to pray for 2 hours on a Friday night. I wish I had. Is anybody thinking you can do that? Just for 2 hours on a Friday night. Because when you pray like that, God says they're serious. When you pray like that, God says they're true and they're genuine with the prayer. When you come out, show up. God will show up and show out. He'll answer your prayer. You have a witness? God don't want no fake stuff. He wants real people. I got to get through this. You need to understand, the more I know about him, the more I know I need to know about him. There are three things mentioned in Matthew 6, not Luke, but Matthew 6, that are meaningless unless they're done for the right reasons. In other words, we do some stuff to show off, to act like we're spiritual, you know. But one of the things is giving of your money. Matthew 6:2 says, when you give to someone in need, don't do it as the hypocrites do. Don't blow trumpets in the synagogues and streets to call attention to your acts of charity. The Bible says, I tell you the truth. People who do that have received all the reward they will ever get. In other words, God says, when you give, don't be a show off. Don't be showing off. Look what I gave. I gave 500. That was a blessing. But don't be a shut off. Show off. Am I right about it? Don't do it so people can brag about how much you give. God says you already have your reward. But secondly, make sure your prayer is genuine. Genuine prayer. God expects genuine prayer. I just told you, God says, don't be like a hypocrite. Matthew 6, 5 and 6. Don't do like that. No, when you go pray, verse 6, go away by yourself. Shut the door behind you. And pray to your God, your Father, in private. Then your Father, who sees everything, will reward you. I'm talking about genuine or true prayer. Am I right about it? See, true prayer, and I'm trying to hasten on to a close. True prayer brings heaven down into the soul and lifts the soul up to heaven. True prayer is when your faith and appreciation of God's grace converge to explode into humility and gratefulness and love for God because of all the things he has done for us. True prayer is the sinner's response to God's voice. True or genuine prayer is authentic prayer. When your life is crumbling all around you and your heart cries out, help me, Lord. Sometimes people holler out, help me, Lord, and God seems to ignore. But when you're genuine with your prayer and say, help me, Lord. Anybody ever cried out, help me, Lord, and he helped you? I don't know about you, but I've cried out, Lord, help me, Lord. Help me, Lord Jesus. Help me, Lord Jesus. If you don't help me, I won't be able to make it. God, pick me up. Turn me around. Place my feet on solid ground. Woo! I'm trying to close.
Genuine prayer. Giving of your money, be genuine. Prayer, make sure it's true. When you fast, don't try to show off with that either. The Bible does encourage fasting. Amen. Matthew 6, 16 and 18 says, and when you fast, listen, don't make it obvious as the hypocrites do. For they try to look miserable and disheveled. What unbeliever would want me if I walk in the job? I'm like, oh boy. Tomorrow, Monday. Oh boy. They didn't party Friday, Saturday, and go Sunday too. And you walk on, they come in, and you come in. See, where'd you go? I was in church Sunday. If that's all, that's what the church go, I'm going to keep on doing my due. If that's all it does for you. No, don't do look miserable and disheveled so people will say, oh, she's spiritual for fasting. Matthew 6, 16 said, I tell you the truth. That's the only reward they will ever get. Verse 17, Matthew 6 said, but when you fast, comb your hair, wash your face. Then no one will notice you are fasting except your Father, who knows what you do in private. And your Father who sees everything will reward you. See, fasting is a spiritual discipline. Am I right about it? We all have to have disciplines. I know some of us are disciplined in our eating. Some of us are disciplined in our doing exercises and things like that. I'm partial discipline. Y'all get it later. I'm working on full discipline. Y'all pray for me. I'm partial. Anybody else, you still working on your discipline? You know, you said you weren't going to eat no more cake. You said you weren't going to have Lily and nobody fixing you no more cakes and stuff. You know what I mean? Sister Evelyn Little come with that fancy cake that and put it in front of my wife and know we're going to fight over it later because I'm going to shoot. You don't need it. Just eat my cake alone. All right, that's too much information. Amen, amen. But fast, be serious about it. Am I right about it? Oh, I'm trying to close here. Moses fasted when he prepared to receive the Ten Commandments. Elijah fasted when he was in physical danger from Jezebel in 1 Kings 19. Esther fasted for the safety of the Jews, Esther chapter 4. Daniel fasted when he needed revelation for an answer to prayer. Y'all didn't hear that? Daniel chapter 10. Jesus fasted before starting out on his earthly ministry. Amen, somebody. Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted there by the devil. Led by the Spirit. Led by God into a situation. Some of y'all mad with God because you're in a situation. God puts you in that situation. Pastor Porter, God put you in this situation. Church, God put us in this situation. But he's going to get you out. Oh, y'all in it. You're only in it for a season. He's going to get you out. You'll understand it better by and by. Matthew 4 and 2 says, for 40 days, you're talking about a long time, and 40 nights, Jesus fasted, and needless to say, he became very hungry. I don't know how many days it's been for ABC going through. I ain't counting. But after a while, if you're not careful, you'll get discouraged. But God says, and I don't want to get you in my sermon for next week, if God don't change it, can I tell him, Reverend? You'll never be able to walk on water if you don't get out of the boat. Some of y'all wondering why. Because you ain't where you're supposed to be. God called you into a danger zone. And you keep staying out. God said, that's where I'm going to get glory. In your troubles. That's another sermon for another time. Y'all come back next week. God gonna tell you something. Y'all thinking you finding safety when you
No, I don't want to preach. I won't come back. Ah, four things we need to learn about secrets, and then I'm done. Four quick things. Y'all with me? First of all, number one, y'all need to get this. Stop trying to handle your emotional, physical, and psychological secrets in the wrong way.
Yeah.
Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 and 30 says, then Jesus said, come to me. Come to who? Jesus. All of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will, what? Give you rest. Take my yoke. You still got to carry something, y'all. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you. This is preaching all by itself. The burden you're carrying, God says, has purpose. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart. Maybe God's trying to humble somebody else. And you will find rest for your soul. For my yoke, verse 30, is easy to bear. And the burdens I give you is light. In other words, and I'm hastening, help me, Holy Ghost. You can't deal with or recover from painful secrets by medicating yourself with lies, drugs, sex, or alcohol. No, you got to confess that mess. Am I right about it? Not only stop trying to handle your stuff in the wrong way, but secondly, listen to the messages that your secret communicates to you. Y'all will get that in a minute. Even the stuff you hold in secret is talking to you.
Yeah.
The secret things you keep to yourself always communicates some kind of message.
Yeah.
Jonas, Pat, I'm looking to call somebody else's name. I won't do it. Even if I'm looking at you, some of y'all tremble. The secret things you keep to yourself always communicate some kind of message, either good or bad. I wish I had a witness. In other words, God may be speaking to you through your secrets to direct your attention in your life to something, or to get your attention to something that you're doing in your life that needs to change. And he'll use sometime your secret to help you grow. Or the devil may also use your secrets to speak to you in an attempt to draw you away from God.
Yeah.
Am I right about it?
Yeah.
Notice, y'all notice that I'm hastening. I told you a year or two or three or four ago, there are four voices
yeah.
that everybody's got to hear and deal with.
Yeah.
Pulpit to the door, ceiling to the floor. Most of the time on a daily basis, there's four voices that you and I got to deal with. There were some voices that almost kept you from coming to church today. There's going to be some choices that's going to keep you from coming to prayer in the fall. There's going to be some voices that tell you when Pastor and Sister Point is gone, that don't give no more and wait till that's a lie. There's the voice of other people, number one, telling you what to do. Then there's a second voice, you talking to yourself, your voice. Then there's a third voice, the devil's voice, who tries to steer you in every wrong way. But thank God there's another voice, the voice of Jesus, our shepherd, talking to you every day. You've got to understand and discern who's talking to you. Is it going to give God glory or not? Stop trying to make it deep. I didn't know whether that's God talking. If you're talking about somebody, if you're not being obedient to what God said, you know that ain't Jesus. Jesus said, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them, John 10, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one can snatch them from my hand. For my Father, verse 29, has given them to me. And he is more powerful than anything else or anyone else. No one can snatch them from the Father's hand. Don't you know nobody, no demon in hell can snatch you? Don't you know no demon or devil can bully you? Why do you keep letting the enemy bully you with his nonsense?
Yeah.
I don't know who God is. Why don't you give back the word to the devil? That demon that's trying to tell you is all over. That demon that's trying to tell you your kids is going to hell. Why don't you speak truth to that demon? I tell you, he's a liar. Not only stop communicating, handling it the wrong way and listen to the wrong messages, but thirdly, embrace the truth. Yeah. The truth will set you free. Has anybody been liberated because of the truth in your life? Is anybody, some of y'all ain't been liberated? You ain't got enough word in you then. Because anybody that's been living or walking with the Lord for any amount of time knows you that truth will set you free. Is it anybody knows that truth will set you free?
Yeah. Yeah.
You may not like or want to hear it, but it'll set you free. God knows what he's doing. But lastly, you got a number four. Change the way you think. Replace deceptive thoughts with the word and truth of God. Am I right about it? We just said, John 8:32 says, and you will know the truth. You will know the truth when you want to know the truth. Stop pleading ignorant. I didn't know. Pleading ignorance. You will know the truth and the truth will set you free. It's liberating. Am I right about it? When you begin to take in negative stuff, you block out truth. So stop letting anybody drop stuff in on you.
Yeah.
Amen, somebody. Yeah. When you go home today, stop worrying about how many people was here. Tell them I was there.
That's right.
Tell them we had a good time.
That's right.
Not because Pastor Pointer was talking, but because he gave us the word of God. Come on, all taste and see.
Yeah.
Am I right about it? I'm talking about secrets. Ain't no secret gonna keep me down. Ain't no secret gonna keep me because I know that Jesus has set me free.
Yeah.
I heard a song say, I must tell Jesus all of my trials. Oh, I cannot bear these burdens alone.
Yeah.
In my distress, he kindly will help me. He, Jesus, ever loves me. And he cares for his own. I must tell Jesus. I must tell Jesus. I cannot bear. My burdens alone. I cannot bear. My secrets alone. But when I turned it over to Jesus, he lifted me. Because love will always lift you. Give God some praise.